Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about, I'm talking about Jesus. I am calling on his name today. I am having a calling on the name of Jesus today. So many times we call mama, we call daddy, we call sisters and a brother, but we need to call on Jesus because God will open doors that you least expect. God will have people help you when you go away out of nowhere when you least expect. And all you can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord. Family. Thank you, Lord, for friends. Thank you, Lord, for those helping you when you're in need because you've always helped them when they're in need. God will open doors for you. All you have to do is be still and know he is God. Be still and know he is God. And he loves you more than anything. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God and to be able to call on the name of Jesus wherever we are. Because that name, with that name, demons flee. With that name, the world can be changed. So just join me in my calling on Jesus Day today. Calling on Jesus Day. Because Jesus, our blessed Savior, gave his life to save us, really from us. But to save us from this evil age. He gave his life to save us from this evil age. To save us from this evil age we are living in. You know, we think that, you know, well, it was in Paul's time. No, it's in our time. We're dealing with crazy and foolish. And you don't want to call someone crazy or foolish. But we are in a time of selfishness. I'm going to take care of me and I don't care about you. I'm going to do what I want to do and I don't care about you. It's about me and not about you. I'm going to dictate what you can do, but I don't want you to dictate what I can do. Well, I say this today, life is life. And God gave it to each and every one of us when he blew into our nostrils. When he allowed us to come into this world and breathe and move, to live and move and have our being, God gave it to us. Through the sacrifice of his son, baby, his loved one, Jesus. We are children of God, and we need to act like it. And what is God, and what does he say for us to do? To love each other. To love each other. How can I say I love God who I've never seen and hate you? Just made me a hypocrite. God That's why we have to forgive. Have to let go and let God. We have to let go and let God. So I'm having a Jesus day. I'm going to call his name all day. I do anyway. But I just want everybody to join me. Just imagine what can happen if we all call on the name of Jesus today. If we all just say Jesus, all the demons that will flee with just that name today. Jesus, I call on your name. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I know that you are my Savior, that you are my friend, that you love me. Jesus, there's no name like your name, and watch him work in your life. Watch him work in my life. Watch him work, period. Why? Because he is our Savior, and he loves us. And all he wants us to do is believe. Do you believe? Do you trust God today? Do you know that you are special in his sight, that you are his sons and his daughters? And all he asks is that we never forget who our God is. And he is not of this world. And there's no name like the name of Jesus. Yesterday, today, and forevermore, he is the same. And the power of that name will protect you in this evil age of selfish, hypocritical, evil. I was listening to the news on yesterday, and it talked about getting shot at the bus stop in Louisville, Kentucky. As a parent, praise the Lord, my sons and daughter are grown. But I have grandchildren. And again, praise the Lord, they are taken to school. Imagine I have nieces and nephews and people I love that do catch the bus. You are standing at a bus stop and you are shot. Why? Nobody knows. When our children can't even go to school safely, there's only one name we can call on, and that is the name of Jesus. Our world is going crazy. The only name we can call on is Jesus. The enemy is busy, and he doesn't want us to call on that name. He doesn't want us to call on the name of Jesus. He doesn't want us calling that name. It's like, oh, shoot, they found a secret. Call on the name of Jesus. Because when they call that name, they know that I will flee. They know that the others wow, I must really be making the devil mad. I must really be making the devil mad, calling on the name of Jesus, because I get cut off. I got cut off of my own show because I call on the name of Jesus. So join me one more time before we get started in our word today. Just everybody all over the world, let us together just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I tell you something, watch God work. Because the devil just got mad because I called on the name of Jesus. I'm feeling pretty good today. Hallelujah. I'm going to have my say just calling on his name. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our blessed Savior, gave his life to save us from this evil age. Amen. Praise the Lord God. Father God, we come to you this morning calling on the name of Jesus, knowing that the enemy is fleeing, that the demons are mad, because we realize that all we got to do is call Savior, our blessed Savior, who came and gave his life for us. Jesus, blessed Savior. All I can say is thank you for your life. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. Father God, I lift up this magnificent word today, this basic instruction before leaving earth. Lord God, may it permeate hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that hear this word will listen, will allow it to permeate in their hearts, to percolate in their spirit. Give them peace. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And Father God, I ask you as always to please increase as I decrease. Please, Lord, allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart to be acceptable in your holy sight. For Father God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, again, I lift up this word, thanking you, God, for giving all of us that are listening a do-over. Amen. Thank you, God, for this day that he has made. I didn't make it. You didn't make it. God made it. And we are blessed beyond measure to have another day, another opportunity for a do-over, an opportunity to make today better than yesterday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Call on the name and watch the sneaky snake. Hallelujah. Lift up your prayer for the remnant is what Isaiah said. But let's get into our words. This morning we are coming out of Isaiah chapter 37 and 38 through 38, 22, coming out of Psalms 109 verses 14 through 20, Proverbs 26 and 1. And our lesson word this morning is coming out of Galatians chapter 1. Through 24, and it is a great word. Whew, I am so excited this morning. I mean, I just got all filled up as I was studying and looking at this word, and you know, just even reading headlines, because you know, I look at headlines, you know, not necessarily the whole story, but I look at headlines, and some of the headlines are like, okay, God, what is going on in our world? What is happening in our world? And God said, people are being people. We are fallible. We're not perfect. But we are trying to get there. God is helping us, and all we have to do is allow him to. And we need to learn how to pray. Pray for our brothers and sisters who do not know Jesus, who are following the crowd,
who follow the crowd, who love the world more than they love God. God is loving us, and all we have to do is love him back. We just have to love him back. God loves us. And he wants the best for us. I'm not trying to preach this morning, but I just want y'all to know how much God loves you and how much he loves me, and he wants us all to just love each other more than we love ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us. Thank you. Get into our word this morning before your host gets all weepy-eyed on you. And it says this in our word tonight. And it was, and so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God and rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, this says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, but he heard that he had departed from Lachish, and the king heard concerning Tarhakeh, king of Ethiopia, he has come out to make war with him, with you. So when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God, to whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my father have destroyed? Gozan, Haran, Rasaphah, and the people of Edom who were in Tessar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sapharim, Hena, and Ila? He's talking a lot of stuff, isn't he? I understand. You can't beat God. You can't do it. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to God, saying, O God of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you who are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib. He has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste all the all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. But they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from the hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed against? Whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high against the Holy One of Israel? By your servants you have reproached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariots, I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter its farthest heights, to its fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of defense. Do you not hear long ago how I made it from ancient times, that I formed it? How now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb, as the grass on the housetop and the grain blighted before it's grown. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, and your rage against me, because your rage against me and your torment, you have come up to my ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lip, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. This shall be a sign to you. This year is such as grown of itself. And the second year, what springs from the same? Also in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mount against it by the way that he came. By the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adrammelech and Sherezer struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this is a sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundown, which has gone down with the sun on the sundown of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. Because remember, he had a nasty boil that was killing him. And God healed him. And God will heal us. All we have to do is believe. Believe in the word of God and call on the name of Jesus. But one thing I want to just say, as we read this scripture, what did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah took it to the altar. He took it to the throne. He took everything to the throne. He went to that altar and laid out the letter from Assyria saying they was going to take over, whatever. Laid it on the altar, gave it to God. His illness, and that's prayer. Prayer changes our circumstances. I'm believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders in my life. I'm believing God for some changes in my circumstances. I'm believing God for changes in the circumstances of some people that I love, of people that I love. I'm believing God for changes in your circumstances. We got to understand that God is in charge. Everything. Not some stuff, but everything. Everything. Us. We all belong to God. And it says in verse number 10 of 38, I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom, from day until night. You make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion. So he broke all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me like a crane or a swallow. So I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fell from looking upward. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. For sure cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living and the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my song with string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah is preaching now. And then it's what it says. Now Isaiah said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. And Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Save us even from our own wicked selves. And this is some life lessons from Isaiah 37 and 38. And again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Dr. Charles, well, the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of New King James, and I am thanking God for this mighty word this morning. And this life lessons, life questions, life examples, what the Bible says, all come from Dr. Stanley. And Dr. Stanley says in these life lessons today, in Isaiah 37:4, and the word says, lift up your prayer for the remnant. And Dr. Stanley says, individual prayer is crucial. Can y'all say it with me? Individual prayer is crucial, but corporate prayer is also important. Throughout the Bible, we see godly leaders organizing their people to pray as a group. But how can we pray corporately if we never gather? It's amazing. It's like pulling teeth to get folks to go to corporate prayer. You know, I know my pastor has practically begged folks to come to corporate prayer. Understand, more prayer, more power. When you call on the name of Jesus, the devil and his minions flee. Those fallen angels run to the hills when you call on the name of Jesus. When you go into prayer, corporate prayer, it's powerful. I've watched God work in corporate prayer. I have watched people be healed in corporate prayer. I have been healed myself in corporate prayer. I know it works. Prayer changes your life. It changes everything. Isaiah 37:20, God save us from his hand that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Our enemies will often try to convince us that he is not worth trusting. This was Satan's tactic in the Garden of Eden, and he still uses the same tactic today. Yet Hezekiah prayed that God might act on Judah's behalf so that the world might know that he is Lord. We should do the same. Folks don't understand. We can pray as a corporate body all over this planet. If everybody stopped and prayed for God to remove coronavirus, I believe in my heart it would be gone in a snap. If we all prayed, said, Lord, we are trusting in you. We are giving ourselves away to be used by you. And if we started acting with kindness and love, watch God work on this planet. But instead, we are hateful and evil. People can't even stand, children can't even stand on a bus stop without worrying about getting shot. Kids can't go to school without worrying about being stabbed and hurt. Come on, y'all. We got work to do. Folks getting spit on, getting spat upon. Jeez, I'm in a mask. I'm going to go and spit on you. I'm going to go and want to fight you or kill you because you said, could you please put on a mask? That's our policy. And so they get killed. But just trying to do what's right. Folks have lost their minds. And understand, it is a trick. It's a trick of the enemy to have us fighting against each other, because when we're fighting against each other, we don't have time to pray. Call on the name of Jesus. We got to learn to stop and look up. And this is what Isaiah 38:14 says, my eyes fail from looking upward, O Lord. We should not feel surprised if God seems to delay in delivering us from some trouble. Sometimes he makes us wait longer than we think we can hold on, because adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. Yet genuine trust perseveres no matter what. And though he allows bitterness into our lives, it is so we can eventually experience peace. What a God we serve. Psalms 109, verses 14 through 20. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy men. Y'all hearing that, right? That he might play the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water, and let all into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers and those who speak evil against my person. You better understand what you do to the least among God's children. You better believe it's going to happen to you. We better quit being hateful. We better quit being evil. We better quit being nasty to the strangers at the gate. Understand. You know, we want to call Solomon and Gomorrah, well, it was all about homosexuality. No, it wasn't. It was about being inhospitable. It was about not treating the people that came through your gate with the respect that was due them. Instead, you wanted to rape and abuse them. And God destroyed you for your inhospitality. And America, I'm speaking today, we better learn to be hospitable. We better learn to be kind and nice, because I don't want to see us go in the way of Sodom and Gomorrah because of inhospitality and being inhospitable to people coming to our doors who are in trouble, who are in need, who only just desire to come to work and be peaceful people living in a country without turmoil. But if we don't stop ourselves, we're going to be just like every other country, divided and fallen. Proverbs 26:1, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. All you have is your good name. And if you allow your good name to be dragged through the mud, what do you have? That's the only thing that's left behind when you leave this earth. As important is your good name. Your good name is important when you leave this earth, because you can't take anything else with you. You can't take your houses. You can't take your cars. You can't take your children. You can't take anything with you when you leave this earth. You came in naked and you're going to leave naked, because your soul can't take this shell of a body with you. The only thing that's leaving this shell is the spirit that's in it, that God has placed in it. And if you don't know how to call on the name of Jesus, all that's going to be left is this shell, because you won't be seeing God. You got to learn how to call on the name of the Lord, how to say Jesus. And yes, we know Yeshua, and we call on that name as well. Just like we know Abba Father, we know Jehovah, we know Yah. We know Yahweh. There's only one God and one Savior and one Holy Spirit. They are one. And they are all working diligently for us. Are we appreciative of our blessings? Are you appreciative of what God has given you? I repent, Lord, if I don't show appreciation. Let me bring this up, Father. Make me brand new. We got to ask God on the daily, make me brand new. You gave me a do-over, Lord. Help me be better today than I was yesterday. I want to one day sit at your feet. I want to drink from the cup in your hand, Jesus. I want to know you up close and personal.
I want to be able to feel and see and touch. I want to know the love that only you can give, God. Jesus, I want to be that love. Hallelujah. And as we go through the word in Galatians chapter 1, and it says, it's Paul an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. And our title is loosely based on this scripture. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. From God. But our word is, Jesus, our blessed Savior, gave his life to save us from this evil age. Jesus gave his life to save us from, as the word says, this present evil age. And verse 6 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Just as it was going on then, it's going on now. Folks perverting the word of God for their own selfish ambition. Perverting the word of God for money and fame and not for souls to be saved. Perverting the word of God for politics. Perverting the word of God for everything they can get their hands on. But understand, all the golden palaces that they call a church cannot go with them when they leave this earth. For all the dirt they do on this earth, taking people away from God instead of to God, watching children be abused and covering up for the abuser. God sees it all. But Paul is telling us that even though we think it's just for us, this word is a today word. This is, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed, as we have said before. So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For I still please men. I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We can't be people pleasers. We are here about the business. We got to go to work. We work for the Lord. And our job is salvation. If you are evangelist, evangelize. If you are apostle, go and preach the gospel. Prophesy and set up churches to run the right way. If you are a prophet, prophesy what the Lord says to you, good, bad, and ugly. If you are a pastor, lead your sheep and lead them in the right way. And if you are a preacher, teacher, preach, drop the word. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about Jesus. And when you preach from the word of God, it can't be changed and bastardized. Preach it in context. Don't take a scripture and throw it any old way. You preach it in context. Because when you preach it in context, it is the word that God has written for us. But this basic instruction before leaving earth is more important than your math book for students, more important than any novel you could ever read. This is the absolute. And it tells us, I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men?
For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through him to reveal his son to me that I might teach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Did y'all hear that? The Lord's brother. Because there are those that teach doctrine that Mary didn't have any other children. That after Jesus, there was no more births that came through her womb. That Joseph had other kids from someplace else. They didn't come from him. That's not what the word of God said. James, what? Did he not say it? The brother, the Lord's brother. We got to understand. We got to read the word ourselves. When you read it yourself and you get it yourself and you pray on it yourself, God will open doors and enlighten the word for you. Don't listen to everybody. When somebody gives you a scripture, go read it yourself. And when you hear where I'm coming from, go look at it yourself and read the whole chapter so you get it in context. Because when you get it in context, you know when you're being preached the okey-doke. You know when you have a false shepherd preaching a lie. Because you have read it yourself and you know the context of that scripture. You know the context of that scripture. And as we continue, it says this. Now, concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me, because they realized that God changed his life. On that Damascus road, God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, changed Paul's life. Paul was a total theologian. This man was educated. 15 of these books were written by Paul. Paul was educated. He was a true theologian. He was a Pharisee. He had learned the word in temple. He was smart. We all understand that Peter and John, Andrew, fishermen, that's what they did. And that's what made them special, was because they were not educated. They didn't go to college to be a theologian. They didn't go get their doctorate in theology and their bachelor's and their master's in theology. And no, they got it from Jesus himself. And folks were like amazed that these supposedly uneducated fishermen knew as much about the word as they did. Because they were chosen. They followed Jesus. Paul, smart, educated, so heavenly minded, he was no earthly good. Had to be stopped on the Damascus road, and his life changed, turned upside down. And because he knows the word of God, he knew the laws of the prophets, and he knew Jesus. 3 years in the desert, getting to know Jesus. Hallelujah. As I talked about on Monday, the shack, Paul had to have his shack moment, but he had to go and visit with the Lord and learn. Took him 3 years to come back to Jerusalem and meet with Peter and James. And he had to go and get to know Jesus. And as we go back into some life lessons from this word, it says this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that he might deliver us from their present age, present evil age. Jesus saved us out of an evil age so that we might become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as light. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Galatians 1 and 8, even if we or an angel from heaven preach that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Whenever someone promotes a restored gospel or a secret gospel or a fresh gospel or any other gospel that deviates from what the Bible clearly teaches, run for your life. That person promotes death, not life. Oh, I found this secret gospel, you know, and, oh, it's a fresh new look at the gospel. Come on now. It is not fresh and new. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Just like God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We cannot change the word of God. The word is the word. Galatians 1:11, the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. See, new life through the risen Savior Jesus Christ is no human invention. Paul did not conceive it, nor did the other disciples. It comes directly from God. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And this is what he says in a life question. I want to make sure I get to it. I'm going to give you some scriptures to write down, and I would say please go and look them up when you get an opportunity. And this is what it says from the epistle. We know that Paul often began his letters, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, 2 Thessalonians, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. Philippians chapter 1, 13. And it goes on to say, of course he knew that the key element in true lasting peace is the presence of God. Isaiah says to God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26 and 3. We got to read that again. That's a highlightable scripture, y'all. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26 and 3. Christ is our peace. His presence is the presence of peace within us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And so Jesus declares, in me you may have peace. John 16 and 33. This is the peace. It is an inner sense of contentment and quietness, regardless of life circumstances. It is steadfast, confidence in our ever faithful, immutable Heavenly Father. It is the presence of joy in the midst of unhappiness. True peace does not merely paint our pain with a pretty color. A person who has genuine godly peace can endure an avalanche of hardship and difficulty and still enjoy an inner peace that surpasses all human understanding. Why? Because it does not come from pleasant circumstances, nice events, or good things others may do to us. Instead, it is based on the fact that the spirit of a holy, omnipotent, and never-changing God lives within us. Does enjoying God's perfect peace mean that you'll never feel the effects of the storms raging around you? Hardly. But his peace is complete, inadequate, and sufficient for anything you face. Keep in mind three keys to experience the same peace. And I'm going to give you those three keys. Focus on God, trust him, and meditate on his words. And again, it says this, focus on God. Perfect peace comes when you fix your mind on God. You must discipline yourself to meditate and work. When you spend time concentrating on a problem, does it not seem to grow bigger? In the same way, have a great time in the Lord. Keep God first in everything that you are doing. Keep God first in everything you are doing. Keep God first in everything you are doing and call on the name of Jesus. Again, number one, focus on God. Number two, trust him. Number three, meditate on his word. Psalms 119, 165 emphasizes that those who love God's word have great peace, causes them to stumble. Have a blessed day, family. Before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, and that word is this. What somebody says about you doesn't determine your destiny. God does. Have a triumphant Thursday, family. Keep calling on the name of Jesus and watch the demons flee. Hallelujah.